I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
And welcome on in. It is Jonathan Peterlin with Nick Padone today. Nick is out. He'll be back on Tuesday as we are at the Barley House and we are getting ready for the Real American Freestyle. We have a whole press conference and everything. We're barging into a press conference. In the meanwhile, though, we have Kayla Coljean on the board. Yes! We have Mac Robinson on site with us. Jax Gregory back in the studios in downtown Cleveland. Nick, how are we doing today?
This is really cool, man. It's cool to be out here. You mentioned it. I see some little kid, like, burst through the doors at the Barley House doing a Hulk Hogan impression. So this is cool. This is something that I've never been a part of before. That's the way that I'd put this.
That was the simplest way of telling me you don't do anything with wrestling at all. You're surrounded by a bunch of people that only care about wrestling and love wrestling more than you and I will ever imagine, and here we are. It was a very polite way of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, everything's very eccentric. Yes. Everything's very spray tanned. I like it.
It's spray tanned? Let's be honest. We have a lot of intimidating people looking in our direction in the current moment. He looked away when I said it. yeah, there we go. We got him to smile. I thought it was going to be like, the figures in London, the figures in London that just stay like a statue and then like they don't move at all. There's a lot of those type of people here. Very intimidating men. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, we're not big wrestling guys, but we're in the presence of a lot of big wrestling guys with the Real American Freestyle. I am excited though. I told you before the show, so there was like a 1 year stretch when I was growing up. It was like 6th to 7th grade where I got really into wrestling, okay? And I liked Thursday Night SmackDown. I liked Monday Night Raw. Like, it was awesome. And then after about a year or so, that was a time of my life, and really everyone's life, where I'm 36 years old. Backyard wrestling was at like its peak. And so backyard wrestling was taking over, and then like people didn't know that real wrestling or like wrestling with the pros was actually fake. And so they just like people were taking like chairs to people's heads. You were using like real like actual tacks in order to fight people, and people just got bloodied up and a mess. And so I watched it for a year, and then my mom was like, "You're not watching. You're not doing any more of that ever again, really."
You know, and I realized that's probably for the best, because that's where you and I differed in that conversation. Because when I was growing up, like I knew everybody knew the word was out that wrestling is not real. So I was like, "Okay, yeah, you're like, why would I watch this?
You have no idea. It was real battles." I'm sure you've seen that the gif of the guy that was like finding out it's fake for the first time and just devastated with tears. It was like actual schoolyard battle, like the same way you debate who's the GOAT in like any sport. You would debate whether or not you thought wrestling was fake or real. It was just one of those things. And no, it was very, very fake. There's no questioning that, but there's a lot of people that thought it was real. But there was one guy named Kurt Angle that I really did like. He was like he was kind of a loser in the wrestling world in some respect.
So he wasn't very good?
He was good. He was just not played to be the hero was the problem. Okay. And so he was actually, oddly enough, in 2025, people would have loved him in many respects, because his bit was that he was an Olympic gold medalist. He won an Olympic gold medal, or maybe he was in like a bronze medal or something at the 96 Olympics. So he was like a real, like just American guy.
Yeah.
Like that was his whole shtick. And for some reason, as America as everyone is, you got to remember, this is before 9/11. I got to teach you some things here, okay? Before 9/11, there wasn't as much patriotism in this country. There just flat out wasn't. There was people that, my dad, for instance, would only buy American cars. My dad would, and that's why We love our good friends over there at Classic Chevy and Menor. But, like, after 2001 and 9/11, it became, like, really, like, all right, let's go America over everyone's ass. Before that, you could have a guy like Kurt Angle that was just, like, a patriot, and not as many people jived with it.
Makes sense. Makes sense. I will say, like, in this new wrestling era, I do quite enjoy, like, the clips that I see that go out. And I get some of, like, the characters that go into it, right? Like, I think Pat McAfee, whenever you put a microphone in front of him, like, you know, really good content comes from that.
Oh, yeah.
Logan Paul. I know. So, like, I have friends that follow the WWE and have for a really long time. And I know when Logan Paul was getting ready to get into it, everybody was a little skeptical. Like, oh, is this just another celebrity that's going to try his hand at this thing?
Yeah.
He was a high school wrestler here in Westlake and then college wrestler, and now he's really good at playing this WWE villain character. So I'm aware of how it works. I just don't really follow it on the regular.
Yeah, but you got to appreciate the showmanship of it all.
I do.
I think that's the cool part about all this. And we're at the Barley House. We're you know, promoting our guys with the Real American Freestyle. And one thing I love about wrestlers is I love the showmanship of it all. And I love the idea. And we'll see this as we're here at the Barley House. We're going to see this all day long. Everyone that walks in here, they are world-class. You mentioned, like, Pat McAfee. There's a reason why McAfee can go from doing what he does to also then being part of the wrestling world and then going back in. Like, as a content maker yourself, you have to appreciate what these guys are.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, like, I get that that's why you tune in. Even that's kind of what, like, boxing has become. It's about, like, the walkouts and the entrances and... do you see some of the people that were just getting off the bus outside of this thing?
I thought they were all going to come in.
I'm like, there was not even any cameras, but these people were acting as if there were cameras. I don't know. Like I said, I've never seen anything quite like this before, and we're buckled up until 7 p.m. to see some things that I'm sure that I've
seen. Yeah, we might have Eric Bischoff over here as well. He's part of this deal with a Real American Freestyle, and so we'll be keeping an eye out for anybody that comes in and comes out. We got a lot of other guests as well. Anwar Richardson, Orange Bloods, basically a legend around Texas college football. He'll be joining us at 5:20. We have a lot of different other people. Josh Perry won a championship with the Buckeyes. He'll be joining us at 3 o'clock. He's with NBC Sports. He's got his own burgeoning media career as well, so he'll join us. And then we have our buddy Daryl Ryder, your buddy Daryl Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. We're going to actually reconnect the Sunday show here on a Friday at 6 o'clock, so Daryl's going to stop by as well. That should be a good time. But we're going to start off talking about Myles Garrett and whether or not a Myles Garrett trade would have been something the Browns would have gone down the road with. And like after Micah Parsons yesterday, Nick, I mean, we did a lot of Micah Parsons conversations yesterday once that news hit, but we didn't really dive too much into the Myles Garrett side of this. And something that I thought was really interesting was the idea that when it came to the Cowboys and what they could and could not do, and this has really been highlighted in the 24 hours since, the Cowboys understood they could not possibly pay those three players. The three players being Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons to equate for what would be 50% of their cap. We've seen this a couple other times in the NFL. 2021 Chiefs, for instance, had three players. Why do you think Tyreek Hill ended up going to the Dolphins? Like, at some point, you do have to make hard decisions. And for Jerry, and this is the part where I think it differs from the Browns' perspective, for Jerry, he thought to himself, we were a bad defense last year, and by many metrics, they were one of the worst defenses in the NFL, including the red zone. All but four teams are better or worse than the Cowboys in the red zone last year. And he looked at it and said, we're going to be bad on the defense whether we pay a guy $47 million or not. Why don't we go towards the offense here?
I think it's just the whole way that it was approached, though, man. Like, the fact that last night in the press conference, Jerry Jones telling people, well, those two first-round picks that we got could turn into Pro Bowl players. Hey, Jerry, guess what? Micah Parsons played in a couple Pro Bowls during his time in Dallas. So I think that's the part of it that a lot of people, kind of myself included, are a little bit tripped up on, is just the messaging of this entire fallout.
Well, messaging has been miserable. Jerry's miserable in the messaging.
And then the fact that you're virtually waving a white flag on the Cowboys making a Super Bowl this year.
Well, they already were waving the white flag on that. Like, the difference there is that it's not as if the Cowboys were expected to be a playoff team this year.
Right.
It's not as if the Cowboys were... I think a lot of people got that mistaken because we've spent so much time talking about Dallas, because guess what? We always talk about Dallas, but the reality is that the Cowboys weren't doing anything this year, and if anything, it's Jerry just recognizing that they weren't going to do anything this year. Why am I in defense of Jerry Jones right now?
You really are.
I feel like I'm in defense of Jerry Jones.
You really are. It surprises me.
When you take it back just a little bit, and listen, I hammered them for many respects, because I think when you have a player like Micah Parsons, you should try to do everything you can to keep a player like Micah Parsons. But after hearing Jerry, Jera. And after hearing some of the kind of the Cowboys discourse, I actually think it makes some sense. You can only have so many teams where it accounts for 50% of your payroll between three players. Like, and that's one thing I think the Browns are coming up against, too, and it's why they debated whether or not you trade or keep Myles Garrett. You know, when you're paying Myles Garrett and Deshaun Watson and Denzel Ward as much money as they are, all three of them with $100-plus million deals, you only got so much to go around. And when Deshaun Watson is basically just a paperweight, he's not real for this team. This is the economics of football that I think a lot of fans, they don't want to realize or acknowledge. And I get it. You shouldn't have to. You shouldn't watch football games on a spreadsheet. That's not your job. But there has to be responsible people in this discussion to enter it and say, find me an example where 50% of the cap gets taken up by three players and it works out for a team.
Well, the difference here is how you view the quarterbacks then. Because we know, and you just said, Deshaun Watson certainly ain't the guy that's going to be leading the Browns to the Super Bowl or even out of the tunnel week one.
Right.
Dak Prescott. Does Jerry Jones still believe that Dak Prescott is a guy that he can win a championship
with?
Well,
so he does, because last year when he paid him that big contract, that was the bet. And the bet that he's making, and this is why I can at least respect the continuity, and I think it differs for the Browns in one reason I'll get to in a second. I can respect the continuity. When you pay CeeDee Lamb and you pay Dak, you are telling the NFL we're an offensive team. That's who we are. We play on the offensive side of the ball. That's what we're trying to do. Where it's different for the Browns is that although the Browns gave Deshaun Watson all that money, that was already a sunken cost by the time we got to the Myles Garrett discussion.
Right.
What the Browns have signaled to everybody is we are a defensive team. Where's their money been spent on the offensive side of the ball after Deshaun Watson? It really doesn't exist. I mean, I wonder if they're going to pay David Njoku after this year. They're letting everyone go. Offensive line contracts, if it happened before Deshaun Watson, congratulations, you got your money. It hasn't happened after.
No.
They've been a defensive team.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy, maybe. And that's just because if you took Jerry Jeudy out of this receiving room, what would this receiver
room
be?
It's already one of the worst in the entire NFL.
So,
you signaled who you are. And
yeah.
So, like, for the Cowboys, here's where I come to their defense just a little bit. In many ways, it almost reminds me of the Bengals. We don't look at it that way because we don't think about Dak the same way we think about Joe Burrow. But it reminds me of what the Bengals are doing. They're like, we're an offensive team, not a defensive team. Why are we paying Trey Hendrickson a bunch of money to have one of the worst defenses in football already?
I guess the difference is, though, Joe Burrow's played in a Super Bowl.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Already. and had before he got his extension. The whole thing is just so fascinating to me because now they're really going to need to use those late first-round picks that they got back from Green Bay and actually hit on them and actually find players that can contribute.
Yeah.
I'm imagining on the defensive side of the football because those are guys that you could have on rookie contracts that are five-year options. You could keep those guys around your organization on the cheap, but it really feels like the Cowboys right now, like if this were the NBA, they're the definition of stuck in the middle to me, JP.
Well,
like,
that's
what
the hard
do you
part.
Do?
So people are going to say, well, of course they stink. They got rid of Micah Parsons. The reality is they were going to stink with or without Micah Parsons, though. That's the true story of this, and Micah Parsons wasn't making or breaking that.
They could have told themselves, though, hey, at least with Micah Parsons,
so, but
Dak,
this is what
CD,
I respect
we'll
about
have
this.
A shot.
This
we'll
is what this
chance.
Is what I respect about this, though, is that this is Jerry, and in the past I feel like he would have continued to push the chips in the middle of the table for what is just a spent team and a done team. This is Jerry saying, all right, I recognize we're really far away and we got to try to do this a different way. 216-474-0092. Get at us on Twitter. Twitter reactions brought to you by our friends over there at Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Would the reaction with a Myles Garrett trade have been that different than the Micah Parsons one if it did in fact happen here? It's Jonathan Pito and Nick Bodone. Afternoon Drive. We are at the Barley House and with our friends at Real American Freestyle and with you, our friends, right here on The Fan.
And I wish him so much success. I don't want him to have success when he plays the Cowboys as much as I do want him to have overall success. But Micah Parsons did an outstanding job for us for 4 years, and a little bit of the way Herschel Walker may have had his greatest contribution to the Cowboys, what he brought to us when he left could be a tremendous thing for our fans and the success of this team.
That was Jerry Jones yesterday responding to the trade and the idea that Micah Parsons is now a Green Bay Packer. We are at the Barley House. We are here with our friends with Real American Freestyle. It is Jonathan Pito and Nick Bodone with you guys. And I want to ask you, Nick, because I've laid out my – it's almost a defense of Jerry, which is just an awful place to be in because it never seems like you want to be in defense of Jerry Jones. And maybe it's just watching that documentary. I just got a soft spot for Jerry right now. You know, but we're at
fell for the propaganda.
Well,
that's what
we're
happened.
At this Real American Freestyle event where clearly I'm a showman in many ways, and I like the showmanship of it all. And I've always appreciated the idea that you have 31 owners and then a TV producer in Jerry Jones. Like, there's a part of me that likes it. I also like that it's not our owner, even if our owner seems like he's a cousin of Jerry Jones sometimes. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that I think you can make a real football argument for why they would get rid of Micah Parsons. You just have to dive deeper than Micah Parsons needs to be on the Dallas Cowboys, and you can't get rid of guys that are 26 years old and have had four straight seasons of 12.5-plus sacks.
That's the piece of it, right, is that he's just now getting ready to step into his prime, and it's a Cowboys defense. You said it, JP. They were already bad. So if that defense was already bad with Micah Parsons on it, what's it going to be without Micah Parsons?
But I think that's the question
worse.
That Jerry is really curious to find out. Is like, if we fill it in with just a couple guys, can we even get worse? And I would point to the Bengals and say, yeah, you probably can. Like, there is a spot that you become what Joe Burrow was last year, which was one of the best offensive performances we've seen in football history, and it just doesn't matter because your defense isn't good enough. But that's the roll of the dice that they're going to try to make. They're going to try to win on the offensive side of the ball while understanding that you just can't put that much of your cap space towards three guys.
I've been a Browns fan my whole life.
That's the argument, but we have no proof in football history that you can do three guys, mega deals that way, and have it work out.
As a Browns fan my entire life, it can always get worse. You know, so pump the brakes, press the brakes on saying that it can't get worse. I do agree with you that it would be them banking on their superstars. And that's virtually what Cincinnati's doing because they paid Burrow, they paid Chase, they paid Higgins. Outside of that, their roster's patched together with guys that they drafted and that are on rookie deals or young players that they've identified.
That's why they can't pay a defense right now. Like, it's like that's when you put that much of the cap space towards one side of it, it becomes really tough. I brought up the Chiefs a few years ago when they paid Mahomes, Chris Jones, and Frank Clark. This was before they even paid Travis Kelce, and they were like, all right, Tyreek Hill, we can't afford you. Like, we just know this isn't going to be able to happen. The Rams a couple years ago when they were paying Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, and Matthew Stafford, like, you had to make some deals, essentially. Like, you can't keep everybody, and unfortunately for the Cowboys, if you're in this discussion, you should think you'd have more to fall back on, but right now it's Dak, it's CeeDee Lamb, and then it's paying everyone on that offensive line.
I just feel like I can't defend Jerry. I can't defend the Cowboys because they did themselves no favors in this entire thing. Like the Tyreek Hill situation. That started and ended within 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that they weren't going to pay him. He said that I'm going to get traded, and he was traded. This has been going on for months and months, and Jerry said it in his press conference yesterday, I could have paid him in April. Yeah, you could have. You also probably could have traded him in April.
Well, that's the showman of this all, right?
That's Jerry milking
out 5 months of content
But maybe that cost him in the long run, because I'm looking at a situation that we've got here in Cleveland. The Browns, JP, got more for Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Cowboys got for Micah Parsons. Travis Hunter could turn into this two-way unicorn that Andrew Berry called him the next Shohei Ohtani. I understand that. Micah Parsons is a real bona fide all-pro pass rusher who's stepping into his prime right now, and they didn't even get what the Browns got for Travis Hunter. We got a top five pick out of that. The Jaguars aren't going to be very good next year. The Packers are going to be pretty good next year with Michael Parsons. So that pick that we're going to get from Jacksonville is going to be better than whatever Dallas gets from Green Bay. At least I'm imagining that's without any big injuries and things like this.
Well, we'll have to take it to the trade value chart on that one. Yeah,
right. We'll have to
pull out the spreadsheets.
When you're just looking at it, and Kenny Clark, who's 30 years old and an interior defensive line, I'll take the Browns package for Travis Hunter over what they just got for Micah Parsons. That's crazy.
All right, so let me ask you this, though, because I've been thinking about this. And, would the reaction with the Myles Garrett trade have been that different than the Micah Parsons one? 216-474 to below 92. What's interesting to me, and I got a couple buddies that are in Dallas, but what I find fascinating is that the buddies that I've talked to, their instant response was, well, he never shows up in the postseason. Past October, he never showed up anyway. And that's basically the old T.J. Watt is what we call that one. Just 3 months left in the season, and he's already cooked and doesn't show up in big-time games. We've already identified a couple pass rushers across the league that's the exact recipe that they have. In fact, it was a critique of Miles for a while there. No questions about that. But there's a lot of Cowboys fans that are just making peace with it.
There are.
It's kind of like, if you break up with somebody and then
yourself that you're good.
Yeah, and your buddies, they help you out with this too. And they'll just be like, oh, yeah, no, she was awful. Like, I mean, I know you liked her, but I've been the friend that has done this for friends. And then they get back together and it's so awkward. Because then you're like, wait, so when you said that you thought that she was just an awful human, did you actually mean that? No, I didn't mean that.
I was just looking out for you.
Oh.
I was just trying to make the situation better.
Kind of like if Micah Parsons got traded back to Dallas, all these people probably would be saying nice things. But I do wonder if this would have gone down this same way with Myles Garrett. Like, would we have just found every way to critique and be basically mean to Myles Garrett the same way that it feels like Cowboys fans have turned on Micah Parsons?
Probably. I think you would be able to look at, because we almost kind of did it, because it was really leaning towards,
yeah,
Miles was dug in, he was standing 10 toes down, how do you come back from the Radio Row interviews that he did? So we were kind of starting to toe that line already, that Miles isn't much of a leader, like all of that conversation was already happening. We were already we were preparing ourselves for the breakup. We were making ourselves at peace with, this might be an individual that we don't actually need. And then when he put pen to paper, it was all forgiven and okay, you better go sack some quarterbacks if you're going to be making that kind of dough. I think we probably would have convinced ourselves that the Browns didn't need Myles Garrett, like what Dallas fans are forced to do right now without Micah Parsons.
Or do you build yourself excuses? Because there are a segment of Dallas Cowboys fans that are turning around and being like, well, it is Jerry's fault. You know, if I saw one meme, I saw 12,000 about how much people hate Jerry Jones yesterday. And so because there's a part of me that was giving Miles not a Peterlin pass, but definitely some sense of a pass with the idea that I can respect when somebody wants to go play for a better quarterback, play for a better team, play for a better situation.
We could have definitely revisited the Deshaun Watson trade had they traded Myles Garrett, because that trade effectively has cost you.
And, oh, yeah.
And it's,
we're
living this in real time. Like, the Deshaun Watson trade has cost Myles Garrett years of his career that have just gone by the wayside without playing meaningful football games. And he's made the most of that, last year. Being able to win Defensive Player of the Year when the team is not performing well is a feather in Myles Garrett's cap. But I think he said it best, like when he was dragging the team on Radio Row. He's looking to win Super Bowls and contend for championships. And are we really close to doing that in Cleveland? I don't know. But we would have been able to make ourselves that piece because we would have played the blame game on everybody else. It would have been Miles' fault. Then it would have been Deshaun Watson's fault for the trade and then never living up to those expectations. We definitely would have passed a ton of blame all over the place.
Well, because what's interesting is that you notice how with Dallas, and I love that the Dallas connection exists here, but with the Luka Doncic trade, people didn't blame Luka.
Right.
They just blamed the front office. They blamed Dallas. They blamed everyone but Luka, and Luka did it the right way because Luka, at the end of it, was like, "I wanted to be here forever." And in the meanwhile, he's getting fat shamed, you know. Like, and so like there was a lot that he did that I thought was right. Whereas I don't know that Miles would have been able to pull at those strings the same way.
Another piece of the Luka thing that I found fascinating, like almost the parallels of this. Are we sure that the Cowboys fielded other offers than just the Packers?
Great point.
Because, like, you traded him within the conference, which is similar to the Dallas thing. You traded him to the Lakers, which you're still in the Western Conference.
No, I like that.
You traded him to the Packers, and that was another big criticism on the Luka trade. It was like, well, you literally talked to one team for Luka Doncic. I'm not sure that Jerry Jones had his phone lit up.
Now, if you look at the cap and everything like that, you could tell because you need to have different. $23 million in change in order to even do this trade.
There was only like, what, six or seven teams?
I think it was like six in total. But like the Lions were one of those teams. And the Lions need somebody opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, one of the best pass rushers in the entire game. Like they could have used him. They could have 100%. If you tell me Brad Holmes and all the Brad bots that exist in Detroit, they couldn't have done something with that price.
Any contending team that had like Detroit is the one, and if that's the price, like two first round picks, when you're a quality team, first round picks don't matter a whole lot because that means you're going to be drafting at the end of the first round. If the Packers are good and the sports books are expecting them to be better than what they had anticipated once that Parsons trade went down, their Super Bowl odds jumped from 17-1 to 14-1. So they're expecting them to be pretty decent. Those first round picks are going to be late. They're going to be in the late 20s, early 30s. If they win the Super Bowl, it's going to be the last pick of the first round. So you got to at some point forget about the draft picks
if you're a quality team.
So Detroit, Detroit should have done it.
It's Les Snead while on the Super Bowl parade route doing F them picks. And the reason why he got to say F them picks is because of the Jalen Ramsey deal where he gave up a boatload of first round picks. And that one, you can make an argument, didn't even really work out for them in many respects outside of the idea that they won a Super Bowl. And because they won a Super Bowl, it doesn't matter what happened in the years after that. And it doesn't matter what happened to the idea that they went 7 years without drafting in the first round. They won a Super Bowl.
It heals everything. It really does. And it's crazy like that we can even sit here and say that in good faith because we've never had one. We've never played in one. But it really does make everything go away.
I'm trying to think more about the Miles side of this. And I want your guys' reaction. 216-474 to below 92. Would the reaction with the Miles Garrett trade have been that different than the Micah Parsons one? You know, Micah Parsons playing for the star. Jerry Jones crosses the street, and that leads First Take in the morning. You know what I mean? Like that comes with the territory of it all. Nonetheless, when they have actual mega news, but Miles Garrett had the attention of everyone for a month.
He did.
Miles Garrett had the attention of anyone that does anything in the NFL space for a very long time.
Do you think Miles regrets that he gave in as soon as he did? Because do you think he's looking at his own situation, saying, "I'm technically by the books right now better than Michael Parsons"?
I mean, I think Miles is the best pass rusher in the game.
Right.
I really don't think it's that close.
And I think Miles knows that. So I could have got what I wanted. I could have got out. I could have gone to a contender where I could factor in my legacy and all of those things that he was dragging the Browns about. And I also potentially could have got more than what this dude got paid had I just waited a couple more months, had I made it a little bit more ugly.
So if you're Miles, did you feel like you misplayed your whole entire situation?
I wonder. I hope he's not thinking about requesting another one because now he's got a no trade clause.
But the difference with Miles is that he still had a contract to begin with anyway. And so the Browns still could have played hardball. And if hardball turned into him having to hold out the same way that Micah Parsons did, The only problem I had in this entire Miles discussion when we were doing it 3-4 months ago was that people thought that Miles would just miss games and Miles would be willing to miss a whole entire season in order to try to get what was his and get what was right. And I just don't buy that.
No, I didn't buy it for Hendrickson. I didn't buy it for Parsons.
I mean, these are Hall of Fame years.
Yeah.
These are the years that matter the most if you're going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. You can't just miss a whole season.
And not to mention, okay, so that's the legacy piece of it, but not to mention the other piece of it is the earnings. I mean, you as a professional athlete,
right,
you have, and while you're making, in Miles' case, $40 million a year now, you only have 10 years if you're a generational Hall of Fame player like Miles to get all of that money while you can. And these guys have egos. They want to be the number one paid player at their position, regardless of sport. They want to capitalize on their earning windows.
No question about it. All right, Joshua Perry, we're going to get into Ohio State and Texas, one of the biggest opening weekends of college football that we can remember in, I'm just going to say the past 20, 25 years, which might be your whole entire
existence on earth.
Okay, so your whole life, this might be the biggest weekend. He'll join us coming up at 3 o'clock. Quick Hits comes your way next. It's Afternoon Drive. We're at the Barley House. We're with our friends with Real American Freestyle with you guys right here on The Fan. All right, back out of here on The Fan. It is Afternoon Drive. Jonathan Pino and Nick Padone with you guys as you gloriously fist pump a promo for your show with Daryl on Sundays.
You like that? I didn't know if you caught that out of the corner of your eye there.
I did. No, I catch everything. That was really fun for me. I enjoyed that. Daryl's going to be joining us coming up at 6 o'clock, by the way. We're going to reunite the two of you. So wait, give me some dynamics of the two of you guys on air together. Is it a I know on the air, off the air is more what I'm interested in. Who's the dominant one in that relationship?
It's a cool, lame, I feel like he's like the lame big brother and I'm like the cool little brother.
Okay, well, describe that for him that way, okay?
Okay.
Will he be responsive to being the lame older brother and you're the cool little brother?
I think so.
He's also like 20 years older than you. You know that, right? He is old enough to be your dad. You're 20.
What were we going to get into?
Hold on,
here,
wait,
Mac?
Wait. You're 26.
Yeah.
Is that right? I got that right. 26.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so young. I love this for you, by the way. I love this for you. Daryl's 47. Like Daryl, legitimately could be your dad. I don't know where you were. I don't know where Daryl was. Maybe I don't know. 21 years ago at this time. How well do you know your parents?
Pretty well. Yeah. And I look just like my dad.
You do? Yeah, you can't beat those charges?
No. And especially I definitely think it's – I'm sticking with the older brother and cool younger brother dynamic kind of what we've got going. But it's been fun. And we're – you know, Sunday will be our kind of wrap-up show that gets people into – Cleveland Browns programming with you, Lance, me, Jake on Cleveland Browns tailgate. So it's going to be fun.
Very cool. Love the idea that we're going to have you there for some of the pregame stuff, you and Jake, and then lead into me and Coach Riz. Going to be a good time. Also a good time, let's get to Quick Hits.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
All right, we're going to start off. Deion Sanders has made a pitch to give bonuses to players for the college football playoff. So the idea is pretty simple. If you make it into the college football playoff, you then get a bonus. And with each game that you get to, you get a larger bonus, a bigger share. It sounds obvious when Deion says it. It's surprising that Deion has to be the one that is vocal for this, but this seems like a no-brainer. Do you feel like something like this would actually work?
I feel like it would work, JP. I feel like it is something that should happen. When Coach Prime said that, I was like, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. The NCAA makes a ton of money. These universities make a ton of money. Give a little bit to the players, especially the ones that are performing in those, like the ratings for those playoff games last year. And some of those games weren't great. Boise State kind of got curb stomped there. Like, some of those games were not stellar. So I'm all for throwing the players a couple extra bones, especially come college football playoff, because that means that you've done something with your season and you should be rewarded.
Yeah, winners of the Super Bowl last year got $171,000. Like, there's money to be given.
Yeah, that'll play.
They give the schools themselves all get checks. I believe it's about $4.5 million, and then it goes up with each passing round that they get. Why are we cutting a check to these schools in this scenario?
It's cool that Prime, like, continues continues to be the outspoken person about some of the things that are wrong with college football. I know that alarmed a lot of people when he started at Jackson State, and then it was only amplified when he went to Colorado. Some people didn't really like that, but Coach Prime is going to continue to push the envelope and push the issue on some things like
that. I just love the idea, because everyone thinks in the NIL world that everyone that plays gets just a bunch of money,
right.
And it's just not true. I mean, there's a lot of people that are guy number 42 on Indiana that never made anything more than like a $5,000, here's just a bonus for being on the team, and that's all you end up getting. Like, there's a lot of players that fall into that category of basically ending up with it's basically pennies on the dollar compared to someone like a Jeremiah Smith or an Arch Manning. Break off some bread for some of these guys. I love that idea.
Especially if they've done well with their season.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Marisa's.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They're winning football games. I think they should get something a little extra.
Mm-hmm. Next up.
Alrighty, next up, we've got Dylan Raiola.
Yeah.
Gotta have this conversation.
Yeah, cosplaying as Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not a fan of this. What are we doing with this?
He even is doing like the finger thing that Mahomes does.
And the walk out of the tunnel, like what Mahomes does at Arrowhead where he pumps up the crowd.
Well, so this one was at Arrowhead, so this one was a little bit different.
That's what makes it a little bit weirder to me, though.
No, but what's weird is the idea that Nebraska versus Cincinnati is played in Kansas City to begin with anyway. That makes it weird, and it's weird because whoever organized this game years ago did so with the idea that Dylan Raiola gets to play out all his cosplaying fantasies and gets to pretend to be the real Patrick Mahomes. That's what makes it weird.
So, like, Dylan Raiola, like, he's become famous for cosplaying Patrick Mahomes, but this is, like, a very highly rated quarterback in his class.
He's
good. This is a quarterback that
he's good.
Probably not,
this year
because he's not eligible to come out,
but
2 years from now, like, we could potentially be talking about the NFL. Like, how do NFL draft evaluators feel about you dressing up as Patrick Mahomes, who currently exists in the National Football League?
Well, I think I always thought that was kind of the sleight of hand that he was going for, is I'll dress like Mahomes, I'll wear Mahomes' number, I'll look like Mahomes, and then an NFL team is just going to believe I am Mahomes.
I feel like somebody should probably tell him to quit it. I feel like somebody should tell him to knock it.
We've all had baseball players or different players in sports where just because they look kind of like the guy, we just relate it to them. And then you have to like knock some sense into yourself and be like, okay, but it's not. And I think the funny thing about Dylan Raiola, if anything is funny about it to me, is that he just convinced himself that if he acted this way and dressed this way, that maybe, just maybe, people would start to believe that he is Patrick Mahomes.
All right, I hate to say, I kind of agree with that. I had really long hair when I was younger, and I had some Ricky Rubio comps on the basketball.
You got the Rubio comps?
Yeah. I did. So.
And it wasn't because you had sweet handles.
Guilty as charged.
Ricky Rubio, also somebody that doesn't get mentioned often on this show.
Guilty as charged.
And I'm not even going to the reasons why.
All right. Next one.
Omaha! He's not here. I can't do it. I can't do it. You're not inquisitive at all. Mac is pissed that you're not asking me about this right now.
Went right over my head.
Mac is very mad that you're not doing a follow-up.
I feel like Nick Wilson will thank me for that later.
Fine. All right. Jets GM says Justin Fields can follow Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold's path in time. Darren Moogie is – I think that's how it – is that how we say his name? Is it Moogie? Is it Muggy? He has not made enough of a splash for me to know how to say the Jets – GM's last name.
I like Moogie.
We're going to go with Moogie?
I like it.
All right. Can Justin Fields actually be Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold?
No. Now we're doing this weird thing where any and every former first-round pick can become Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield. We're going to do this with Anthony Richardson probably next year. How many teams are going to fall for this trap that you, as a former first-round pick, can make $100 million in your career? You could be the guy that turns everything around. That's why I was glad to see the Browns just wipe their hands of the Kenny Pickett thing. I feel like those guys that can resurrect their careers and can turn things around are kind of a dime a dozen. I hope for Justin Fields, because I actually am a Justin Fields fan, that he can have kind of a career renaissance like that, and maybe throwing passes to Garrett Wilson will help some things. But if it hasn't worked thus far, you had ample opportunity in Chicago. You had a chance last year in Pittsburgh, even though it was kind of fleeting. Here's another one in New York, and if this one bottoms out, then it certainly is not happening.
I feel bad for him, though, because if there is somebody that could tap into this because the circumstances weren't great around him previously, I would say it would be Justin Fields. I just don't think he's got enough talent. But he had no help in Chicago. He had zero help in Pittsburgh. I mean, every quarterback that goes to Pittsburgh, they kill quarterbacks there is all they do. And so if anybody could do something, I have a feeling it would be someone with the path that Justin Fields has been on. Like, the identity there, or at least the simple connection for myself, Fields has now been in four different offenses in 5 years. Baker, that was the big knock when he was here, and then when he was going around to Carolina, and then L.A., and then settled in Tampa Bay, is that he's had eight different coordinators in nine seasons. Like, he just had a million different coordinators, million different people, and then once he finally got the right situation, the right setup, then he popped off. And so if there's hope for the Fields family, because they're the only people that roots for Justin Fields at this point, there's hope for the Fields family, it would be that.
I'm with Omaha! Already, the NFL, JP, I don't know if you saw this yesterday, dropped their rivalry uniforms for the NFC West.
Oh, yeah, I kind of did like some of these.
And the AFC East. I like some of these as well. I thought there were some hits. I thought there were some whiffs.
The Bills one I thought was really cool.
I like the Bills one.
I'm not
the Arizona
guy.
One.
Are you a big uni guy?
I'm a big uni guy.
You seem like a big uni guy.
Here's my thing. I feared for these that the NFL was going to turn into what the NBA is, where you turn on an NBA. I'm not an NBA uni guy.
Okay.
Where you turn on a game and the Milwaukee Bucks are wearing teal uniforms, and you say, wait a minute, the Milwaukee Bucks colors are not teal. I was worried we were going to go like in a direction with that. Would you want to see the Browns in some NFL rivalry unis?
I just thought they looked cool. I don't know what they would do with the Browns to make it look cool, though.
That's like, what I'm saying.
The Bills ice out stuff was pretty sweet.
And like the AFC East, you've got a lot of teams that you can do things that are creative with. Same with the NFC West. Like the Rams, you could get creative with those colors.
But you can't go too far is the problem, though. If you go too far, you'll start to look like the XFL.
So what would the Browns? Browns would be all orange, I feel like.
It's got to be something like that, but you still have to be the team. Again, the problem that other NFL-adjacent type leagues that have started up have run into is that they just look so comical. They just look so like Any Given Sunday-esque, and it just doesn't look good, and then you feel like you're watching something that isn't even the NFL anymore, and I'm worried about that for the NFL. You still have to keep some of the main jerseys out there.
And that's why I was going to say, like, I'm kind of glad that the Browns didn't get one. I feel like we've reached nirvana with the Browns uniforms. Like, this current iteration, they look like the Browns. In my mind, that's what the Cleveland Browns should look like on
the
field.
Getting them, I think, in 2028?
I think so. They are coming.
We're the last year to be rolled out.
They're coming.
And so we're getting them. It's just going to be a couple years. And that'll be all right. I'll be ready to embrace it then. All right.
Omaha!
Nick, you're a big gambler.
Oh, yeah.
I know that about you. I'm also a big gambler. Legal NFL betting estimated to reach a high of $30 billion in 2025. That is up from last year where they were $27.5 billion. There's no slowing this down, right?
No way. No way. And I know so many people tried to turn the molehill that was the Manuel Clase and Luis Ortiz allegations into
a
mountain.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
And that's to come. Listen, legalized gambling, I really think is a good thing because all of these sports books have partnerships with the leagues and they know when something nefarious is happening. I think for fans, it's an element to the game where, you know, you've got a parlay, your buddy's got a parlay, you've got your rooting interests in the games, what's happening on the field, but also for your financial situation. Like, I'm a fan of it. I don't think it's going anywhere.
It extends your interest, too, is the other part of this. Like, it extends, you'll watch more games. But me and you watch all the games anyway because it's part of our job. But for the most people.
And because we're sickos.
Basically. But for most people that aren't sickos, you're like, oh, Thursday night game. Let me throw a couple dollars on that. And so then I watch a Dolphins versus Bengals game that maybe I wouldn't have watched previously. And
right.
So, like, from that perspective, it obviously only helps. But I think $30 billion is such a huge
number
for that. Anybody that ever thinks that it is in any way slowing down, just say $30 billion when baseball is a $12 billion a year organization. Football is about somewhere between $12 to $13 billion. Like, the NBA is around $11 billion. Like think about the numbers that they do yearly and then think about $30 billion being wagered on the NFL. It's wild. All things considered. All right, we'll leave that there. We come on back. We're going to get into Ohio State and Texas. Joshua Perry won a national championship with the Buckeyes. He now does work for the NBC Sports and part of the Big Ten Network as well. He's got a podcast, too. He'll break this game down. And what exactly Arch Manning versus Julian Sayin means for the Buckeyes. It's Nick Padone. It's Jonathan Peterlin. We are at the Barley House with you guys right here on Afternoon Drive.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.